Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now that we're in the holiday travel season, many of you are probably gearing up to fly somewhere, maybe with presents, children, and food for our feasts all in tow. And with all of the ever-changing regulations and requirements at the airport, we thought it might be helpful to get a refresher on some airport security rules of the road or air, as well as your rights as a traveler and some general tips and tricks. So here with me to help you make traveling through the TSA security screener as easy as possible is Washington Post transportation reporter Lori Aretani. Hi, Lori. Welcome to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me on.
So I'm going to start right on a specific point here that trips a lot of people up. The difficulties with bringing liquid through security and creams, even mashed potatoes. Why are liquids considered more of a risk than solids? Why do things so frequently get taken away from us, toothpaste, sunscreen, when we're going through security?
It's the TSA. Back in 2008, there was a very serious threat that used liquids. There was a very serious threat that involved liquids to blow up an airplane. So since then, TSA has been very strict on liquids on board, and it has a limit of 3.5 ounces, and they have to be put in that separate clear bag and put through security. I know some folks had asked, you know, if you'd like to bring that sunscreen, chances are you're probably not going to need it on the airplane if you're headed to Florida. So you can bring it, but you have to pack it in your suitcase. Same if you want to bring that lovely bottle of wine. You can bring it, but you have to pack it in your suitcase. You can't bring it on board the plane.
Right. And if you happen to be going somewhere with just a carry-on, like when I got toothpaste taken away from me not that long ago, I guess you have to be aware of carrying a very small size and what 3.5 ounces actually is.
Yeah, I think that's why Target has that vast aisle of travel-sized toothpaste and everything possible under the sun.
Right. And listeners, your questions for Lori Aretani, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692 on getting through airport security. I mentioned mashed potatoes. It sounded like a throwaway line probably, but actually one of my colleagues here said, yes, she had some food that she was bringing on to eat on the plane, and they took it away from her because mashed potatoes were considered a liquid.
Now, that's a new one to me. I have not had trouble. I had not ever heard of trouble with mashed potatoes. I'll have to tweet. You can always tweet. If you have any questions, you can always tweet Ask TSA and ask them. But that's I really have never heard of the mashed potato rule. I'll have to check with them on that. I'm sorry, because I know mashed potatoes really make the meal.
How about cranberries? So we're past Thanksgiving, but cranberry sauce is a little
Cranberry sauce is a no-no. You got to pack it in your suitcase. Anything. So gravy, you know, we heard of reports people wanted to bring their gravy through carry-on. You can't do it. You got to pack it in your suitcase.
Maybe that's why the mashed potatoes. Maybe I didn't have.
That might be it.
Maybe I didn't have enough details about my colleague's mashed potatoes.
Together, they spell trouble, I guess.
I think some of our listeners are familiar with the TSA PreCheck and private programs like Clear Traveler. But can you give us a quick rundown of what these programs entail and if they're worth the money? Because they're not free.
They are not free. TSA PreCheck will cost you. It's a program sponsored by TSA. You pay an $85 fee that's good for 5 years, and it allows you, you give them fingerprints, and you go through a brief background check. I think the enrollment process takes about 10 minutes. It allows you to go through. When you go to the airport, you'll see these special TSA PreCheck lines. You'll probably get a stamp on your boarding pass, and it allows you to not have to deal with the hassle of taking off your jacket, you know, taking out your liquids, taking off your shoes. You just go straight through. They say that it can speed you through. Most people, they say, can get through in about 10 minutes if they're pre-check. Of course, this year is going to be probably a record travel season. And even though, you know, most of those folks are going to be driving, there's still going to be 6 million folks out there that are going to be flying somewhere. So keep that in mind. Clear is another version of that that allows you, that's a private company, that allows you to go through a line. However, you'll still have to go through regular screening, but it does sort of give you a faster pass through the line. There's also global entry for folks who travel international, do international travel. It's another program that you can do. I'm not sure what the fee is for CLEAR. They're just popping up in airports around the country, but I'm sure they have a website that you can check that on.
Tim in West Milford, you're on WNYC. Hi, Tim.
Hi, guys. Nice show. I'm always enjoying it.
Thank you.
I travel a lot, and I regularly get, without asking, the TSA PreCheck, which I think is kind of a marketing error for this project. If I decide to go ahead and pay the money to get the TSA PreCheck, would I expect that I would pass, since they've been giving it to me for about 5 years?
I would expect you would pass. I think you'd be okay there, Tim. It is, if you, I think if you're a frequent traveler like you are, it can be a help. You can sometimes go through on sort of a random basis. They use a number of different factors, but it's sort of a crapshoot, although it sounds like you've got good airport karma.
Carol in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Carol.
Hi. I'll try to boil my question down. I got the TSA PreCheck when it became available, because I don't travel very often, and frequently when I do, I need to use a wheelchair at the airport. And what I discovered is that if the wheelchair is on your record, you are automatically flagged for not only going through security, but for a pat-down. And I thought maybe I was being paranoid, so I called the PreCheck people when I came home from one trip, and they said, no, in fact, unfortunately, that's the case, but they didn't tell me why. And then again, not this Thanksgiving, but last Thanksgiving, it happened at an airport in Durham, whatever that airport is, in North Carolina. And when I got to the gate, I talked to the pilot. He hadn't gotten on the plane yet, and he said that he has elderly parents who need to use wheelchairs, and he always has to be really careful to make sure that the wheelchair request is only made after they have their boarding pass. Hmm. Can the expert there speak to that at all?
Yes, and our expert, by the way, if you're just joining us, folks, is Washington Post transportation reporter Lori Aretani. Lori, how about that wheelchair situation?
I'm sorry that you've had that experience. I'm sure that you were hoping that by getting PreCheck things would be quicker. I know that TSA, it's hard to know what your experience has been and if you're getting the right information, but TSA does have a special hotline for folks that you can call. They usually recommend you call about 72 hours in advance, where you can ask them and let them know that you're coming, what your flight information is, and that number is 1-800-787-2227. And that's designed just to help folks so that you don't have to deal with this sort of last-minute hassle at the airport or any stress. Hopefully they can answer questions and sort of clear up whatever misunderstanding there seems to be.
Good luck, Carol. Thank you. You want to give that 800 number again, because I'm sure a lot of people would like to know that.
I definitely will. It's a TSA CARES number. It's 1-800-787-2227.
Liat in Great Neck. You're on WNYC. Hi, Liat.
Hi, I'm Israeli, and sometimes when I go through the TSA here, and they are really harassing people. When I had the twins, my twins were babies, they spilled my milk. They said it's too much. And some of them, they really want to show that they have the power over you. Now, when I go through El Al or any other Israeli security, they ask me 5 questions, they look at me, and they let me go. Never more than that. And for the TSA, whenever I go through, they check the strollers, they check everything, and I see, not that I'm saying that they shouldn't check, but sometimes that's how they show you that they have the power over you. And people are being abused. Why don't you ask 5 questions and look at people's faces and recognize who might be a terrorist? I know that it's politically incorrect, but it's time to change it.
Lori, what do you think about that?
Well, I'm sorry that you've had that experience. I know that TSA has been working on their customer service, and as you recall, they've had some incidents. Denver Airport pops into mind where TSA officers were clearly out of line and doing pat-downs unwarranted on passengers. They're working very hard. They've set up a new training academy down in southern Georgia to try and teach folks how to screen. But they've also, they're up against, every country has different screening processes, and TSA is also battling. About a year ago, they ran into trouble where the Inspector General found that a lot of items that were slipping through, that weren't supposed to be slipping through, it was a very high percentage. And so TSA, as a result, has really cracked down and is really tightened screening restrictions. I'm sorry, I know it's really hard when you're traveling with kids. If you are going to be traveling with kids this holiday season, you know, you will need to have, you're taking a car seat, you're taking a stroller, those items will need to be screened. If you're taking formula or milk, you know, those items will also have to be screened. I think as TSA has evolved, hopefully the process or the airport that you're flying through, the agents are more savvy and sort of understand the challenges that you face coming through and able to sort of process you and get you through that process more quickly. But they are aware, and they know, which is why they've set up many different channels. Ask TSA is their Twitter handle where you can tweet them. It's staffed, I believe, from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern time, and they'll get you answers right away. I actually used it just a week ago when I was traveling for some help.
To follow up on Layat's frustration, and Layat, thank you very much for your call. Last week, CNN political commentator and NPR political analyst Angela Reyes posted on Twitter and wrote an essay for CNN about what she called her nightmare scenario, nightmarish, with airport security in Detroit, in which she was required to receive a vaginal pat-down after going through the body scanner. Reyes got a police officer to film the incident and the search because she was aware enough to, you know, ask for it to be monitored. And then another airport security incident got floated around on social media last week at LAX, a breast cancer patient who, quote, wears a wig, has a port in her chest, and cannot walk without her feet covered due to sores from her treatment, unquote, was forced to partially disrobe and remove her wig during extensive search. And like Reyes, she had TSA pre-check status. So I guess the question that comes out of the Angela Reyes situation, or one of them, is, can you refuse a pat-down?
You can. You have two options. You can go through I think you'll see the body screening where, at least the airports that I pass through, you put your arms up and the machine sort of goes around and you go through. That's one option. If you don't want to do that option, you will need to do a pat-down option. If you opt to not do either screening method, I don't know that you will be able to fly. In that case, I think they will take it on a case-by-case basis.
You gasped when I said vaginal pat-down. My understanding from hearing about this incident was that they said that if you're going to be patted down, that's a part of it because that's a place where women sometimes hide contraband.
One thing you should know is that you can always, if you opt for a pat-down, I don't know that this helps because that sounds like a terrible moment. You can always opt to do it in a private area so that you're not around the public. I don't know that that necessarily makes it less uncomfortable, but at least everyone's not watching you. Then again, if you're subjecting yourself to a pat-down, you may want to have eyes there watching. But I think that's an individual's choice.
Here's a question from a listener on Twitter. What's to keep a first-time terrorist from getting TSA pre?
They do background screening and fingerprinting. I think it's that's sort of the question that's gripping the nation is how do you know someone is going to, you know, I think TSA does as much as they can, just as all our security apparatuses to try and identify people that they think are at risk. But as we've seen from incidents, we've had that terrible shooting at Ohio State, you don't necessarily, it's not foolproof. It's not foolproof. And I think TSA would, it's not foolproof, but you do the best you can with the resources that you have.
Jeff in Highland Park, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Brian. I love your show. Glad to be on. I have a question. I don't really understand the whole TSA PreCheck thing, because sometimes it seems to show up on my boarding pass randomly and other times not, and I don't think that I've done anything differently to make it be there or not. And so could the expert please just explain the whole process? Maybe this is, you know, kind of an elementary lesson, but I feel like I need it.
No, it's definitely not. It's definitely not. It's a very good question. I'm sure people that haven't paid their $85 or people that have paid their $85 and hear people are still getting TSA wonder what that's pre-checked, wonder what that's all about. TSA has tried to move to a model where they use a number of different factors to sort of analyze flyers and the risk they present. There are instances when you may not be enrolled in the TSA PreCheck program, but you will get the PreCheck. You will be allowed to go through the PreCheck. They will do that. I don't know that they do it as often as they have in previous years because of the problems they've had. They've identified with people getting contraband through the checkpoints that they shouldn't be. But it is something they do as part of their process to try and sort of balance security with the need to move people through as quickly as possible to process things. So they do different behavior studies to try and figure out who might be a risk and who might not be a risk. So there may be times when you'll get TSA PreCheck, even though you haven't enrolled in the program, but they've used other factors, perhaps your history of flying, other factors to determine that you are a low risk.
Jeff, thank you for your call. We're just about out of time. I'll just throw in one because it'll just take a second, I think, and it came in from somebody writing in who's got a question about returning to the United States. I think we can figure out where this person is going for the holidays. Question is, Cuban cigars, how many? Do you happen to know?
Do you know? I don't know. I don't know that is a TSA so much that might be.
No, it's not TSA.
I do not know how they've changed the limits on Cuban cigars.
Okay, travelers to Cuba, while it's still somewhat loosened, may get put back again. We don't know. There, you'll have to look that one up. Well, we thank very much Lori Aretani, transportation reporter for the Washington Post, for answering mostly your TSA questions as the peak holiday travel season dawns. Thank you very much for coming on with us.
Thank you, Brian.